Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the New Testament. It's 1 John 1:7. It's been changed from the scripture in your bulletin. It's 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. Once you've found it, please say amen. Okay. Scripture reading is 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. The voice you'll hear after special music by Sister Trent will be that of our pastor.
Once again, good morning and happy Sabbath. If you are familiar with the game of football, you know what an audible is. An audible is when you, when the coach calls a play, and then you actually get out on the field, and the quarterback sees that, you know, this isn't going to work, or I have a better idea the way that the field is laid out. He calls an audible, which means he changes the play. I was pretty proud of myself this week. You know, one of the challenges that I always have is sending the sermon information to the people that do the bulletins. You know, just coming up with a title, and you can tell if you know me by now, my titles to sermons, I'm not as creative as other preachers. It's just pretty straightforward. And you send the information, and I was proud of myself because this week, I didn't wait till Wednesday or Thursday. I never wait till Friday or Friday. I sent it out Monday, and I was so proud of myself. I sent that email off, and I closed up the laptop, and I'm like, yes, I did good. Until Wednesday, when I was talking with our head elder, and we were talking, and I just had a thought in my head, something else. And I kind of disregarded it. I thought about it, kept going, and then again, Thursday, something else. And then Friday, okay, I get it. So today, I'm calling an audible. This is the right of the pastor. I pray that it's the Lord calling an audible and not me. So what I'm sharing with you this morning is if you're looking for something to go with the title Andrew's Legacy, you're going to be disappointed because there's nobody named Andrew in what I'm about to share with you this morning. All right? But I'm praying that the Lord is doing this for a reason. If nobody else gets a blessing, I pray the Lord gives me one. I want to ask you, well, first of all, let's just have prayer. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit that it is not, it's not me. I have nothing good to offer. But I pray that it is you. Touch the people with what you want to touch them with today. I ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, and I'm going to begin at verse 35. Here we are, and Luke is describing the crucifixion scene, and we're kind of jumping into the story here as we jump into verse 35. Listen to what the Bible says. And the people stood looking on, but even the rulers with them sneered, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ, the chosen of God." The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." And an inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. And what did it say? It said, "This is the King of the Jews." Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." I don't want to get hung up on the proper place of the comma in this story or anything like that. I want to talk to you about the story of the thief on the cross. Our theme going forward for these next 3 years is on discipleship. And you know, I've been sharing the looking at the disciples, the original 12, and looking at their lives and what we can learn from it. Today I want to talk about one who was not of the 12. He actually hung next to Jesus on the cross. What a wonderful story. What hope it gives us. What a merciful God we serve. At the end, this man had nothing left to offer Jesus. Nothing left to give. As a matter of fact, you could say that he took every good thing that God had thrown at him and thrown it out and spit back in God's face. Here he is at the end of his life. Nothing left to offer God except this pitiful little plea, and Jesus assures him of paradise. As I was reading this, I felt impressed to read it. I didn't even know what I was looking for until I actually started reading it. I just felt impressed that I want to share with you today some of the things that jumped out at me as I was looking at this story. And they have to do with being a disciple, and actually even has to do with communion, which is what we're doing today. Now, for those of you that may not be aware, the Bible doesn't give the names of the thieves that were hanging on the cross. Church tradition tells us that what we would call the quote good thief, his name is Dismas. At the Clinton Correctional Facility in Dannemora, New York, it's maximum security prison, the house of the forgotten. They have one of the most magnificent Catholic churches that you're going to see in the area. It's all made of stone. It's beautiful high arches. If you've been in St. Augustine's, it's a little bit smaller in terms of footprint on the ground, but it's magnificent. It's old, well over $1 million when they built it way back when. They have a plaque of part of Magellan's ship. If you know the explorer Magellan, he had a piece of wood that was somehow overlaid with gold. It's in the Church of the Good Thief at Dannemora Prison. Dismas is supposed to be the name of this thief. And so as I was thinking about this and how the story relates to discipleship, because there's no point in talking about discipleship if you don't understand, God is calling for 21st century disciples. And if you don't know what that means, you need to study the disciples that came before us. So let me share with you some of the things that came to me from this story. Number one is this. How many thieves were there? How many thieves wanted to be saved? Both. Both thieves wanted to be saved. What did I'll use the word bad thief. That's not the right, I'm kind of disparaging the man's memory. But you have the good thief and the one that didn't accept. But what did he say? He said, what did he say? Do you remember? If you are Christ, save yourself and? Did he want to be saved? Yeah, he wanted to be saved. The good thief, did he want to be saved? Of course he wanted it. Both thieves wanted to be saved. One wanted physical salvation. The other one wanted spiritual salvation. The one who was thinking beyond this world was looking at the things beyond this life. Here's another difference. One said to Jesus, if. The other one said to Jesus, remember me. You know what the difference is? What's the difference between the two thieves? And both wanted to be saved. Both asked Jesus for salvation. One said, if. The other one just said, remember me. One thief showed that his heart was filled with pride. It was filled with arrogance. It was filled with unbelief. The other showed that what was inside of him? Humility, faith, and a deep longing for mercy. Anyone hearing me this morning? What can we learn today for what it means to be a modern day disciple by looking at these men? Is there a lesson? And how does this tie in with communion? Well, let me share with you a couple of things that I've been impressed with. Number one is this. You want to be a 21st century disciple? You want to know what God calls you to be a 21st century disciple? Well, a 21st century disciple should not be too in love with the things of this world. A disciple, a true disciple of God, should be ever mindful that the physical is not eternal, but the spiritual things are eternal. The things of this world, we'll call them the temporal things, should not cloud your focus on the spiritual. It is so easy for disciples today to not hear God's voice with all the other noise that's going on around them. It's so easy for people to get distracted away from God because we're thinking about the here and the now. You can go the other way, though, too. Let me make sure that I don't want to tell you that everything is spiritual, because you know, you've heard the saying, right? There are some people that are so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. They're too worried about soiling themselves. They're too worried about getting dirty. They're too worried about doing this, that they can't serve God because they cannot be around sin or sinners. But a 21st century disciple understands that when you look at the two, which is the truly lasting world? It's not the physical. What do you get? 70, 80, 90 years? It's the spiritual world. We're talking eternal life. Another thing to learn regarding discipleship for the 21st century Christian is this. Here's some things that you should never, ever say to God. Here are some things you should never say to God. If you are the Son of God, help me. If you really care, do this for me. If you love me, do this for me. Or if you do this, then I'll do that. Do you notice the pattern with all those things? If you really are who you say you are, a disciple of God should never give in to doubt about God. I'm not saying that doubt will not come. I'm not saying doubt will never come knocking at your door. But you need to understand the importance of resisting doubt. Look at these two thieves. Both wanted the same things. Both asked Jesus, in essence, for the same thing. But only one got the answer that he wanted. Why was that? Well, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. This is a text that we all know by heart. Or for those of you that are not familiar, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. And when you find it, would you say amen? I want to draw your minds to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, and think about these two thieves on the cross hanging next to Jesus. Both of them wanted the same thing. Both of them asked Jesus the same thing in their own way. As a matter of fact, one was even more direct than the other in his request. But there was a difference. Hebrews 11:6 says, it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." My friends, let me put it a little bit different. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. I would say without faith, it is impossible to connect with God. As Jesus hung there on the cross, and he had one on one side, one on the other, both of them wanted the same thing. One said, if. One just said, just remember me. One had faith. The other one was, no, I'm not going to have faith until you prove. You want me to have faith? Do this. Another point here. Last point. A 21st century disciple cannot approach God with pride, arrogance, or a modern day word, attitude. A true disciple of God knows that God will not suffer long with the proud. When we look at the two thieves on the cross, one was having attitude with God, if you can imagine that. One was saying, do this. If you are who you say are, do it. Get us out of here. I think of some of the old movies I've watched when people were in prison, you know, and then someone comes and breaks the guy out of jail, and as he's leaving, what are the other guys in the other cells doing? Don't let me. Hey, take me. That's how I see that thief. He wasn't interested in anybody's good. He was being selfish. He was having an attitude. If you're God, save yourself and us. Pride, arrogance, attitude. Turn, if you will, I think this is the last text I want to share with you here. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. Proverbs 8, verse 13. There are two things happening in this verse. Solomon is writing the proverb, but he's writing the proverb in a way as himself, but then in a way as if God was speaking. Listen to what he says in Proverbs 8:13. He says this, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil." Then it continues. It says, "Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate." God does not suffer long with the proud. Two thieves, they wanted the same thing. One said, "If." The other one threw himself at God's mercy. Now, how does this tie in with communion? Well, the bread and the wine that we drink draw our minds from the physical to the spiritual. They're symbols, right? They're the symbol of the body of Jesus. They're a symbol of the blood of Jesus, which was given for you and I to have life. We do the ordinance of humility, the foot washing. Think, this is the last symbol that God gave his disciples. Jesus, these men hadn't figured it out yet. The hours leading up to the Passover, they're still arguing over who was going to be the greatest. You know, even today, it's not that much different, you know. There are some places, some churches, some conferences, when you have debates on who's going to get the next position, who's going to be the top dog. Jesus had one last chance to be with his disciples. What does he do? He gives them a service to teach them that they need to love and humble themselves before one another. Love for one another and humility before God and man are not optional for the Christian. That's the lesson Jesus was trying to teach. Without these things, you will not last long in his presence. So as we reach our communion service today, I ask this question of those who came last night to prepare, and I'll ask you, church family, how has your walk with Jesus been since your last communion service? How has your walk been with Jesus since the last time we gathered for communion? Have you been living victoriously in Christ? Or have you dishonored his name? If you're like me, you probably can say a little bit of both. I can tell you this, I know I need Jesus. I don't need him just a little bit. I need him desperately. Oh, how I need his forgiveness. Oh, how I need his love. Oh, how I need his miracle working power in my life. And the question I have is, does anyone else need Jesus here too? Yes. You're in the right place. Because today you get an opportunity to, as I say, hit the reset button with Christ. It's a physical way to do it. It's a tangible way to do it. I invite you to join us as we partake in the communion service. Now, before we separate, I want to let you know we practice open communion, which means you don't have to be a church member to participate, but you need to know the symbols and you need to know what you're saying, that you want Jesus in your life. If you choose to just observe, you're welcome to do that as well. We are, after I have prayer here, we're going to separate, and we have rooms for the ladies and also for the men. And after the foot washing service, then we will gather up here again. Let's have prayer together. Dear Father, I just ask that you will create in us an awareness of what it is to be a disciple. There are areas in our lives that we each need to allow you to do more work in us. Help us, Lord, to do just that. Lord, help this communion service to be a time of renewal, a time of repentance, a time of forgiveness, a time of starting over. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.